This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Ultimate HA7 Joint Formula from Purity Products. Ultimate HA7 features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin. It's powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissues. So call 800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9. And you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and lo and behold, it's Think Red, which means it's a month devoted to cardiovascular disease prevention, particularly in women. You know, this is a topic that is of utmost importance because, well, in spite of talk about breast cancer, still cardiovascular disease is the single biggest killer of both men and women, and remains so, even though we've seen some dramatic advances. But it's all about prevention. And today we're going to talk to an expert on the subject. He's a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine. He's Jim Laval. He's a nationally recognized clinical pharmacist. He's an author. He's a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He's founder of Metabolic Code Enterprises, which is a web platform, and Practice Solution Enterprise. And his book, Your Blood Never Lies, is a perennially popular book. If you want to figure out what your blood test means, that's the go-to book. Cracking the Metabolic Code, also. They're available on Amazon. He's got a website, jimlavalle.com, or metaboliccode.com. And Jim, you know, there's a whole page of accolades that I could go into, but then, you know, time up, and then show would be over. So we're going to go, not going to go down that pathway. So, to sum up, you're involved in clinical contact with patients. You advise patients at your center out in Orange County. Is it in Orange County, California?
It is.
And also, you're involved in all kinds of these web-based enterprises that help to get the word out about natural medicine, and also your books. So let's tackle the subject of cardiovascular prevention. You know, I'm going to tee this off with an article that I found quite disturbing. It's actually from last year, and it applies to England, but what goes on in England, you know, pretty much, you know, it's similar demographics to the United States, North America, Canada. Headline, 4 in 5 adults at risk of early death, according to something called the Heart Age Test. And they did this as a 16-question online questionnaire. They found that 4/5, 78% of the people who took the Public Health England's new online heart age test were found to have a heart that was older than their chronological age. And so what that means is that, you know, they may be falsely reassured, you know, like I'm 40 or 50, and, you know, that's a little bit before the onset of cardiovascular disease. But lo and behold, they have risk factors that make their hearts older than them. 33% of those in their 70s had a heart at least 10 years older than their actual age. 19% of those in their 60s. Among men, it was worse. 31% in their 60s, 42% in their 70s were older than their actual age. And women weren't far behind. So what does that message suggest to us?
Well, I think it suggests that we're not doing the right things.
Yeah.
We, you know, I think culturally, you know, in Western culture, like for me, the number one thing that plaques your arteries and gets you aging is becoming overweight and having high postprandial glucose. So meaning your blood sugars go up too high after you eat. And, you know, I think societally, when you look at westernized countries that are well fed, that's the problem. We're well fed before the slaughter. And, you know, it suggests that for all of the talk and all of the drugs, which by the way, in acute care are fantastic, right? I mean, you know, let's praise our stents and our open heart surgeons, right? I mean, you know, they save lives. But the reality is, for most people, their chronic health, simply they don't know, A, what to do, how to do it, or where to begin. And I think that's a big issue. I think, I mean, I know that's what I've devoted my life to trying to do, is get people to start looking at lifestyle and looking at nutrients and looking at exercise and, you know, looking at stress response and sleep. And you know what? In the end, you know, people eat too much. They eat too often. They pick the wrong things to eat. They eat too late. They don't exercise enough or in the correct way. And they top it off with a nice lack of sleep.
So these are all factors that conspire to age our hearts faster than we ourselves are aging. These are the ingredients. So you actually, you know, in our talking a little bit about this subject before going on the air, you mentioned a tool, the American Heart Association's Life Simple 7 for optimal heart health. Now, let me just say up front, I'm not the biggest fan of the American Heart Association because they keep reiterating their support for the low-fat diet, for low-fat dairy, for substituting vegetable oils for butter, you know, and they really have done us a disservice by sticking to that old paradigm. But they do have some points when they suggest this Life Simple 7. So maybe go through that approach, and maybe we can come up with a modified American Heart Association pitch.
Oh, sure. So, you know, I mean, the one thing I'll say for the American Heart Association about, in regards to them, is at least they're saying something other than get your cholesterol down.
Yep.
So finally, they're starting to talk about something other than that. So the first one that they talk about is maintain a healthy weight. And you know, and I agree, people should maintain a healthy weight. But, you know, Dr. Hoffman, I know for a fact you're an avid exerciser. You watch the food you eat. And that's why you can maintain a healthy weight. For most people, they struggle to maintain their weight. I was just, you know, talking with my dentist this morning, and her spouse is a good friend of mine. And he's like, I've been to the gym for 6 weeks now, and I've actually watched what I'm eating, and I haven't lost any weight yet. It's developing a lifestyle, not a diet, not a 8-week exercise plan. That's how you maintain your healthy weight. So that's one, maintain a healthy weight. And I think that's super important. The second one, of course, is manage your blood pressure. And, you know, for me, when they lowered the blood pressure standards to 120 over 80, I actually was a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, hey, there's a lot of people walk around with 130 over 90 is no problem. All anything over 120 over 80 means to me is that your adrenaline and your neurovascular network is starting to get too tight. The vessels are getting stiff. You're getting inflammation. And it's just an early warning sign. So, you know, managing your blood pressure, and I think 100%. And look, one in two Americans now that are adults are thought to have hypertension once they lowered those numbers. That's a pretty amazing number.
So, and that's to the good. And I agree with you that we should have stringent standards for that. You know, it's same thing with weight. You know, it's not just okay to be, you know, a little bit borderline. It's, you know, let's really optimize our weight, our blood pressure, optimize our exercise levels and so on. But the problem with this new edict, you know, that it's got to be 120 or 80. And, you know, I read the position paper, and what it says is that for people who are, you know, that 120 to 130, 80 to 90, they don't need to be put on meds right away. They need to embark on what is described as intensive lifestyle modification. Now, most doctors, I presume, didn't read that in detail, because buried in the text of it is that it's not about slapping these people on meds. It's about really exhorting them to do the right thing. You know, all these things that you talk about. And yet, I think the net result of it is going to be too many people are on debilitating blood pressure medications unnecessarily. Your doctors give up too quick. They go, oh, this guy's not going to exercise. This guy's not going to eat well. I know him or her. And the net result is we're just going to see more prescriptions.
Well, I think and I have to agree with you there. I think it, the getting the prescription pad out early, especially with the antihypertensive drugs, I worry about that. You know, there was an interesting study that they looked at populations of both diabetic and non-diabetic individuals who were obese. They had hyperlipidemia, so their cholesterol was high, their blood sugar was high, and their blood pressure was high. And they corrected for all three of those with their meds.
Yes.
And what they found is long as their pH of their urine remained acidic, their pulse wave velocity did not improve, their renovascular complications progressed, their uric acid levels were, continued to skyward, and their outcome in terms of their overall risks were not reduced. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because I think of an acidic pH, I think of someone who's not eating vegetables, not eating, not alkalinizing their body by eating the right foods. And they don't have enough redox potential, right? They've got heightened oxidative stress when they have an acidic urine. So of course they're going to progress their condition. I thought that was an amazing 2017 study. There were a couple of them actually that pointed to that. And I could not believe that they got published, because urinary pH isn't anything groundbreaking, right?
It's almost naturopathic medicine is what that is. Alkalinize your body. However, I think some people misunderstand that paradigm. They believe that the way to do that is go on a raw foods diet. That's the end all and be all of alkalinizing your body, or become a vegan, have plenty of starchy grains. I'm not sure that's going to be a fix for a lot of people.
That's not going to be the answer. But what we do know is that when you get enough magnesium in your body, which, magnesium deficiency, number one nutrient deficiency that's associated with the development of, cardiometabolic disease and metabolic syndrome, as well as diabetes, magnesium is instrumental in making sure your pH is corrective. And I think to that point, we're running around with a lot of deficiencies, and what we haven't done is we pull out the prescription pad right away and we create more deficiencies. So, you put them on an ACE inhibitor or an ARB, and it's combined with maybe hydrochlorothiazide many times, and that furthers the deficiencies, which is going to contribute to progression over time. And so I think that it's interesting that while we're all pointing towards these need to control these things, control your blood pressure, control your cholesterol. That was another Life Simple 7 from the American Heart Association. Well, it's not about, there's a couple things about cholesterol, right? It's about the particle size of the cholesterol. Is it small and going to bore into your endothelium? And then the second thing is it getting oxidized or not? So once again, we get back to that concept of an acidic pH being, kind of indicative of a high oxidative state in your body. When you're in a high oxidative state, you're going to oxidize your LDL cholesterol, and that's going to make you more prone to plaque. So it isn't, it's not a statin deficiency. And then, of course, the next one that they want you to do is control your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And, they said they want your fasting blood sugars under 100. And, from my perspective, I don't really like fasting blood sugars above 90. Mm-hmm. I like them in the mid-80s to the high 70s. Mm-hmm. They get down into the 60s and the low 70s, and I worry about dysglycemia. And certainly by the time they're in the mid-90s, you're creating a relative risk of, 60% risk of becoming diabetic in the next decade. So, yes, control your blood sugar, but that's going to mean something more than taking medication. It's been studied time and time again that lifestyle has a dramatic impact on blood sugar. And, of course, the fifth one is eating healthy. And I'm with you. Like, I'm not a fan of the movement going on right now, which is to, become vegan, because most people really don't become vegan anyway. They become, and so that it gives them a license to wield bread and pasta and rice in every direction they can throw it. And, including eating it. And I think that while I'm a plant-based diet guy, I really believe that people should eat more plants. They also need nuts and seeds. They need to have legumes, and you know what? Good lean protein from wild caught sources or grass fed sources are quite good for you, right? So their perspective is, hey, eat healthy, eat a Mediterranean diet. Well, eating a Mediterranean diet, if you're in Mediterranean, that might make sense because you're walking everywhere and you're getting your food fresh each day. here in America, we might walk an hour a day and we sit the rest of our day, and we typically don't get fresh food. And then the other two are pretty straightforward, you know, get physical activity. I mean, I'm absolutely a proponent. Please get out and move. And then the avoid smoking. That's of course a non-starter for heart disease. You know, you got to avoid smoking. And then from my end,
mm-hmm. you added
the Heart Association did not recommend.
Yeah, you added.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah,
because nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about stress. And to me, stress is a incredibly powerful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having some stress in your life. We realize that too much is bad. Not enough might be bad too. But in reality, most people are running around, you know, they think of white tigers chasing them, and it's because, you know, somebody said something about them on Facebook they didn't like, right? It's not life or death.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we got to start to learn, you know, the really understanding the metabolic impact of cortisol on our bone, meaning we melt our bone down, we create higher serum calciums, which then allow for more plaquing, we create more adrenaline when we're under stress, and that adrenaline tightens down on our arteries, and now we get reduced blood flow to our kidneys and to our periphery, causing our heart to pump harder. I just think that we really do need to frame these things up in a much better sense than just these, you know, really general, you know, guidelines of, hey, if you have these problems, we're going to medicate you and it's all going to be better.
And where I think both of us depart from the American Heart Association is a missing number 9, which is take certain supplements. They're not big believers in supplements. They've sort of reluctantly half acknowledged that omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil, may be beneficial, especially if you get it in a pharmaceutical drug, not if you buy it from a health food store, because that's what the studies seem to show, is that if it's a drug, it seems to work. But, yeah, we're not so sure about fish oil that you get in a health food store. Magnesium, as you mentioned. Any other key nutrients that could play a role in prevention?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that when you look at heart health, and you know, magnesium's the no-brainer, right? I think a lot of people are low in potassium. When I look at a lot of serum potassiums, they're below 4.5, which is the numbers that you get on a lab test would say 3.5 to 5.2. And once it gets below 4.5, you're at a four-fold risk of developing diabetes.
Yeah.
And so I think potassium is incredibly important. You can start to think of things like tocotrienols, red yeast rice, and maybe a smarter way to help your cholesterol. But tocotrienols are great for scavenging oxidized LDL. But probably the most studied, best heart health supplement, by far, hands down, in my opinion, is chiolic aged garlic extract. And I mean, they've got over 800 publications now. And studied over a period of 45 years showing cardiovascular benefits. I mean, 45 years studying a natural compound is unheard of.
Well, absolutely. You know, say you have some evidence of coronary artery plaque. You know, I often advocate that patients, even if they have normal stress tests, get the EBT heart scan, which can give you a numerical score. It quantitates the amount of plaque that you have. And, of course, zero is the best. But as people age, usually they accumulate some plaque, usually double digit or triple digit or even four digit plaque. And so if you're confronted with that possibility, is there evidence that supplements can reverse that or slow the progression of that plaque?
Well, that's interesting. You know, and in human studies, once again, you know, rats are nice, but I can't get a blood pressure cuff around a rat paw too easy, and none of them come in for me to help them with their arteries. So human studies on aged garlic extract showed several important things. One is that it reverses vulnerable plaque. And in the process of reversing vulnerable plaque, it also normalizes the inner lining of the artery. So it's the endothelium, which can get inflamed. The inner lining of the artery can have inflammatory processes going on. Getting that to stabilize really helps reduce your risk of stroke and risk of developing plaque formation. So one is it helps that. The second thing I think it's incredibly important. is that it stops bone mineral density loss so that you don't put calcium into the serum in order to calcify your arteries. And they showed that when they were doing the calcium scores, and they could see the spine, and they calculated the bone mineral density loss of untreated versus treated people with aged garlic extract. And a lot of people don't know that particular feature around aged garlic extract.
Exactly. And the fact that that's a whole new perspective on it. It's almost a vitamin K-like effect, because we often talk about vitamin K2 as being supportive for bone, but at the same time protecting the heart.
Right.
And it's, you know, I simplify it with a metaphor saying it's kind of like a crossing guard for the calcium. It puts it into the bone and prevents it from heading off in the wrong direction into your endothelium.
That's exactly right. And so when you look at this, in addition to that bone effect, it improves the pulse wave velocity of blood vessels. So blood vessels become more pliable. And the result of that is that it will average somewhere around a 7 to 16 point drop in systolic blood pressure on treated individuals versus a 5 to 9 point drop in their diastolic blood pressure. Now, you've been around a lot of medications, and you know, there's not a lot of blood pressure meds that single-handedly have that kind of effect where it reduces blood pressure and has these other downstream effects of stopping the calcification, reducing ectopic fat, so fat around the heart gets reduced. It also helps to reduce oxidized LDL cholesterol, so that you're not, the rate of rusting of your cholesterol goes down 88%. I mean, these are crazy big numbers, and it still amazes me that we haven't caught on to the power of aged garlic in terms of us healthcare practitioners, right? I mean, you and I have. We've been fans of this ingredient for a long time. And the fact that it keeps your blood from being too sticky, so, you know, it thins your blood without having any interaction with traditional blood thinners. So that's pretty interesting. And so as I look at the kind of the global effect, I mean, I don't know of another heart health supplement that kind of reaches out in so many directions and supports your kind of the metabolism of your blood vessels and your heart and your arteries as you're aging. And, you know, and then it has these other downstream effects like improving adiponectin. Adiponectin's pretty important because when it goes low, you're under more oxidative stress and your insulin receptors don't work.
It has something, within that word is embedded the word adipose. It has something to do with
exactly
your susceptibility to getting fat. How does that work to mediate fat metabolism?
Yeah, well, you have one of two things, right? You either have adiponectin upregulating, which is good because then it reduces adipose fat storage. So you don't store fat as easily into that visceral fat. And if you and then there's another compound that if your adiponectin goes down, and I think this is fascinating, right? There's a compound called angiotensinogen. Mm-hmm. So angiotensinogen gets released.
It's a target of blood pressure medication often.
Exactly. That's just it, right? So when angiotensinogen goes up, you convert something called angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2, which makes you to lay down more fat and compress your blood vessels in your smooth muscle. So getting your adiponectin to go up, getting your insulin receptors to fire, not allowing that fat to be engorged in the visceral fat so that you don't make more of these chemicals like angiotensinogen. It's incredibly important. And then the last one, I think, I mean, there's so many interesting things on aged garlic, but the last blood pressure study that they did, they also looked at the microbiome and they found out that aged garlic actually acts as a prebiotic, improving the diversity of the microbiome in the people that were treated within the study, which I think is fascinating.
And that's interesting because that may be the way a lot of things work to help the cardiovascular system. It's been suggested, for example, that one of the benefits of cocoa on the cardiovascular system. You know, this month, St. Valentine's Day, so everybody's talking about the heart-healthy benefits of chocolate. Cocoa may act as a prebiotic, changing the microbiome in a certain way. Also, the drug metformin, which helps blood sugar, but also is considered an anti-cancer, anti-aging drug now, has some potential there, seems to work on the microbiome to some extent. It doesn't work directly on the cells. Its effect is mediated through the gut. So, yeah, it's interesting that aged garlic extract changes the flora in such a way that maybe it has many downstream effects.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think the other piece to this that I think is, you know, equally interesting is the effect that it has on the nervous system. So, you know, it's real popular now. People are talking about heart rate variability. You know, how does your heart and how does your nervous system respond to stress? And what they found is an improvement in what's called vagal tone when you take aged garlic extract. So when you think of this kind of global effect of it reduces oxidative damage, it lets the blood vessels become more flexible and repairs the inner lining of the vessels. It works on the adipokines so that you're reducing the amount of inflammatory chemicals that are coming out. You know, you're keeping the blood from being sticky. You're improving your lipid profile in general. I mean, I don't know of anything else that does it. So it's really a fascinating compound.
So it's really foundational as part of a nutritional support protocol. We're going to go into this in some further depth in part two, talk about some other companion nutrients and some other aspects of heart health and prevention with one of my favorite guests. He is the go-to guy on just a wide variety of subjects. Author of Your Blood Never Lies and Cracking the Metabolic Code, Jim LaValle. He's a clinical pharmacist and board-certified clinical nutritionist. Jim, hang in there. We'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.